We present James Bolam and Rodney Bewes as Terry Collier and Bob Ferris in part three of Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads. On top of his other problems, Bob's new house is equipped with a man-eating serving hatch that's already savaged right hands of both the lads. Bob decides to seek medical advice, forgetting that he and Terry still share the same doctor.
Hello, Bob. You're in luck. Just you and me. Take a seat. No, not over there. Come and sit by the window. Okay, then we'll sit by the gas fire. Now where are you going? Oh, make up your mind. This is worse than musical chairs. Are we now happy with our window seat, or would you like to try out some other chair for size? Did Thelma explain about last night? I mean, if she did, you must know by now that it was all an accident. So it's pointless sitting there in a black off. Well, what did she say then?
I'm not talking to you.
Bob, I'm sure that 1967 edition of Auto Car is fascinating, but you're holding it upside down. Did she explain?
Thelma is not talking to me. Thelma is having a nervous breakdown.
Well, I suppose that means she'll be along here too. I'm amazed she didn't ask you to carry her in.
If it wasn't for this hand, I'd smash your head in.
Yes, that's right. Attack an invalid. What about my hand? Look at that. I can hardly move it. I've a good mind to sue.
I offered you my hospitality. I offered you my house because I felt sorry for you. I even came round this morning to make you breakfast. I bought you some bacon and eggs. Large, brown, organic, free-range eggs. When I fry them all beautifully, what do I find? You. In bed with Thelma.
Well, there's no need to get upset. You'd cook enough for the three of us.
My best friend.
Look, Bob.
Do you deny it?
I don't deny being in bed with Thelma, but I do deny knowing that I was in bed with her. Hell's bells. You know there's nothing between Thelma and me.
There certainly wasn't this morning.
Bob, use your noddle. It's obvious what happened. She came up to the house last night to stay with you. Thought she saw you asleep, didn't want to wake you up, got in bed beside me, thinking I was you, and went to sleep.
Without noticing I lost a stone during the night.
Well, it's easy to make mistakes in the dark.
Exactly.
Bob, I didn't know she was there. I was out like a light last night. If it had been Raquel Welsh beside me, I still wouldn't have woken up. And let's face it, I'm the last person Thelma would want to cuddle up to. That's why she's having a nervous breakdown. Not 'cause you found out she was in bed with me. Because she found out she was in bed. I'm right now, aren't I? I mean, it's logical, isn't it?
I don't know.
Bob, nothing happened, I swear it.
Not even a nudge?
Nothing. I was dead to the world till that service hatch fell on your fingers. How is the hand?
I think the middle finger's broken.
No, it isn't. Not if you can wiggle it around like that.
I'm not wiggling it. There's great jabs of pain shooting up my arm.
But what about mine? What about mine? Look, that one's blue. Well, that's one thing you learn in the army. How to bear pain.
So why did you come to the doctor's then?
Malaria pills.
You haven't got malaria.
I have. I served 2 years in the Mediterranean, mate.
I thought you'd have webbed feet then, not malaria.
Thelma's not really having a nervous breakdown,
well,
is she?
Well, she's very upset. I'll have to go around there and make it up.
Again?
They're funny women, aren't they? If it's not one thing, it's the other.
Usually the other.
I seem to have been through so many hang-ups since you got back.
Oh, I'll have to leave. It's the only way. I'll emigrate.
Oh, don't be daft. You're not to blame. Well, not really.
Well, I'm glad you appreciate that.
I can see her point. I can understand it. I mean, you do represent a threat. You're the past. You're what we used to be. The lads. Knocking them back. Putting it about.
But can't she see that that's all over?
Well, she's got to be made to realise that you're just a friend now, not a bosom companion, that she's my partner in life. She's the one I'm going out to work for and building a future for and spending all my free time on.
Except Fridays, of course.
What? Oh, yes, well, except Fridays. I mean, that's always been lad's night.
What about Tuesdays? Tuesday's dart match.
Well, yes, Tuesday's darts, isn't it?
And midweek football.
Well, obviously we'll be going to that together, won't we? But she's got the rest. Except Sunday lunchtime.
And that's not enough. Dear me, they're so demanding, aren't they?
I will.
You do believe me, then, about last night?
Yes, sure, man.
You'll make it have a swift off later on, seeing as Selma's having a nervous breakdown.
You're on.
Shake.
Shake.
Holy hands! He does a lovely bandage, though, but...
Yeah, cheers. Ah, it's a right game, though, isn't it?
Don't tell me, mate, don't tell me. I've been through it.
Everything's such a drama.
Same in my marriage. Of course, in our arguments, we can never understand each other. What with her being German.
Well, could she speak any English at all?
Oh, a little, yeah. A few useful phrases like, where are you going, what time are you going to be in, give us some more money, that sort of thing.
Yeah, Thelma gets so hysterical. It's your female insecurity, of course. She was like this when I broke it off 6 months ago.
You mean you broke it off again? Apart from the first time?
Aye, there's been once more in the middle.
Well, you can hardly blame her for feeling insecure. Poor cow, I mean, poor lass. No wonder she doesn't know where she is. Now you see it, now you don't. She must feel like Pavlov's dog.
Like what?
Pavlov's dog, you know, they used to ring a bell and take his dinner away.
Pavlov? I thought Pavlov was a ballerina.
Well, very possibly she was. The point is that she had this dog and didn't know whether it was coming or going.
Well, every couple have their ups and downs. Nothing's cut and dried. People have to be certain in their own minds.
So why did you break it off the last time?
Irreconcilable differences.
You mean you wanted to and she wouldn't?
No, it wasn't like that at all.
Well, how come it's all on again?
Our number came up on the housing list.
Oh, look, now, Bob, please. Now, look, mate, I've got no axe to grind. I'm not trying to stir things, but that is hardly a basis for marriage now, is it? Loving someone, yes. Needing them, yes. Putting them up the stick, fine. But you don't get married because somebody on the council writes and says your numbers come up.
Well, that was the past. Anyway, there's no doubts now. No uncertainties.
I see. So at this moment in time, that little ring, after its many journeys up and down her digit, is firmly in place.
There. The banns are being read tomorrow, and the invitations have gone out.
Oh, well, there's no point in discussing it then, is there? I mean, what with the printer's bill and the cost of the announcement and the Northern Echo? That represents too large an investment. We can't let that go to waste.
Terry, I've looked into the question of marriage very seriously. I'm well aware of the dangers of marrying for the wrong reasons. Thelma and I are different. We've taken a very mature approach. We haven't panicked ourselves into rushing things.
True, true. After a 16-year courtship and 3 engagements, no one could call you impetuous.
It's not been that long.
Now, of course it has. It was me that brought you together, indirectly, at the Park Road Juniors. You remember? Old man Hayward wanted to split us up. So he shuffled us around and moved her desk next to yours. Oh, no, I lost my place at the radiator.
You're right, you're right.
And I remember when she went to the grammar. And we went on to the blackboard jungle.
Yeah, that's when I lost contact. I became her social inferior.
We were everybody's social inferior.
She seemed so unobtainable. Sometimes I watched her through railings, skipping, with a skirt tucked into her thick navy blue knickers. As Paul Anka put it so aptly at the time, so near and yet so far away.
Billy Fury?
No, it wasn't.
It was Billy Fury.
Paul Anka, quid on it.
Right, you're on. Halfway to Paradise, sung by Billy Fury. I want to be your lover, but your friend is all I'll stay.
What does that mean? Your friend is all I'll stay.
I want to be your lover, but you'll only let me be your friend.
Oi.
I think that big barman wants a word with you.
What's the matter?
You two fairies, out.
Hello, Audrey.
Hello, Bob. Nice to see you.
Wipe your feet, Terry.
We got the invitation, Bob. Lovely. I'll RSVP you when I get a minute.
Fairies. Just wait till I get this bandage off me hand.
How do you feel about the big day, Bob? Nervous?
No, not really, Audrey.
He's terrified. He's got cold feet. In his case, cold flat feet.
In fact, I'm looking forward to it.
I suppose my little brother's been stirring it.
He hasn't helped.
Well, don't listen to his marriage guidance counsel, Bob.
I know what it's all about, mate. I've been through it.
You? I'm the one that knows what it's all about. I've been married 6 years and I've got 2 kids and a line full of washing to prove it. Marriage isn't like a breakfast commercial, you know. You have to work at it. That's what makes a marriage.
I tried. God knows I tried.
You didn't raise a finger to save your marriage. It was madness you getting married in the first place. Oh, but you're different, Bob. You'll make a good husband and a lovely father.
Aye, well, if only we'd had children.
Oh, the heartbreak and the anguish. Don't take any notice of all that how I've suffered bit, Bob. Get him to tell you why his marriage fell apart. That'll give you some idea of his anguish.
That hurts, Audrey. That hurts more than you will ever know.
Where are you going? Audrey. Did he ever meet his wife?
Once.
What was she like?
Well, she was, you know.
You mean she had big,
Very physical.
Oh. No, it shakes you, though, doesn't it? I mean, when it happens to someone you know, it makes you,
Oh, you and Thelma will be all right.
We're always having rounds.
And you'll go on having them, Bob, with a few breaks in between to get your breath back. But you'll last the distance.
Now, you're happy, though, aren't you, Audrey?
Well, I suppose so. We don't fight so much since I took up yoga, though. Every time Ernie starts around now, I just drop into the lotus position and sit there with a serene smile on me face. Drives him mad. Here, I better get the washing in.
Oh, do you want me to,
No, you just put the kettle on.
Where's our Audrey?
Oh, in the garden. I'm making a cup of tea.
Oh, good. Now you're here, there's a chance you'll get the chocolate biscuits out.
Terry?
What?
How did your marriage end?
Irreconcilable differences.
No, don't muck about. I mean, what happened? Was it rows or another fella or what? You know, I mean, what was the last straw, so to speak?
It all built to a climax in June, 1970. June the 14th it was, 9:30 local time. I had a 48-hour pass, so I was spending the weekend with her family. They were all there, mother and father, her brothers and uncles, sitting round the telly after dinner, full of veal and sauerkraut and popping their cans of Dortmunder beer. And then it happened. The thing that snapped the final thread of our chance of happiness together.
What happened?
What happened? On June the 14th, 1970... Oh, I would have thought that date was printed indelibly on every true Englishman's mind. England 2, West Germany 3, that's what happened.
Oh, my God, of course.
Do you have any idea what it was like to be in Germany that night? West Germany? Especially after being 2 up at half-time. I mean, I was out of my mind by then, standing on the sideboard singing Rule Britannia. And then the shame... humiliation. And them all leaping up and down, their eyes glazed with national fervour. I thought they were going to invade Poland again.
Oh, don't. I've only just learnt to live with it myself.
Well, can you imagine how it was for me? I just got up, went quite unnoticed, got me bag, and walked out of our life forever.
I can't blame you. I think I'd have done the same. It was bad enough here. I had to go to bed and lie down for 2 weeks.
So that was that?
It takes a long time to get over something like that.
Of course it does.
You can't just shrug it off and forget it.
Back to square one. Start again.
Pick up the pieces.
Start afresh.
Mind you, I think Channon has made a difference.
Oh, hi.
The point is, do you want me to come over? Well, it's up to you, Pet. No, I didn't say that. But you know I didn't mean it that way. I meant, do you want me to come over? You don't want me to come over. No, I do.
That's why I offered to.
God preserve us. What a picture of marital bliss. You winding down the telephone to Thelma, and me sister standing on her head in the corner of the living room because her husband's not coming home for supper.
No, I only asked in case you didn't want me to. But I want to. That's why I offered to. I just didn't want to come round in case you were lying down with one of your migraines.
Ooh, she won't like that.
No, love, no, love, love, love. I didn't mean one of your migraines. I meant one of your migraines.
Love is a many splendid.
Shut up, will you?
It's the April.
No, 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 sweet, no, no. I'm not in a pub with Terry. No. It's only the radio. It's the radio. I'm at Audrey's. I'm having tea with Audrey. No, no, Pete, you can't speak to her at the moment. She's standing on her head. Darling, I don't know why she's doing it, but I can't disturb her. Hang on, I'll just turn the radio down. Stop stirring, you are. Hello, Thelma. Thelma? Thelma?
Rung off, has she?
Yes, thanks to you.
Just as well. There's no end to conversations like that. So, are you or aren't you?
Am I what?
Going over. Are you going over? Oh, you're not going over. You're not going over, because if you went over, you might wish you hadn't gone over.
Shut your face, Terry.
Oh, I wish you'd come down from there. It can't do you any good, that yogi. All that blood rushing to your head. I thought you were in a trance.
Just came out of it. Is she still upset, Bob?
She doesn't want me to go over.
Well, at least one of you can make a decision.
And she stopped work on that cardigan she was knitting me.
Oh, she's down needles, has she?
Terry!
A nice fawn one for weekends.
I hate people who wear cardigans.
Oh, take the notice of him, Bob. He's the original angry young man, only he's 10 years out of date, like his hair and his winkle picker shoes.
There's nothing wrong with my hair.
You're a knocker, Terry Collier, the alternative voice.
Yes, except people like him don't offer any alternative. They're just against things. They're anti-everything. Not just other people's fallen cardigans.
I'm against things that threaten my liberty. I don't want to be submerged like some people. I don't want to be suffocated by society, by...
Marriage. Go on, say it, go on, say it. Marriage. That's what all this is leading up to, isn't it?
And what you mean?
Marriage. You know, this blessed union, holy wedlock, this is another of your not very subtle attempts to kick me in the matrimonial groin.
Rubbish. All I am trying to do is warn a friend. A very close, a very near, and a very dear friend against rushing headlong into things which I have learnt through bitter experience to think twice about. I know all there is to know about holy deadlock, mate.
Your marriage might have been like that, but my marriage is going to be a thing of great joy and great beauty.
All right, Mary Poppins.
No wonder yours never got off the ground. You've got too much meanness inside you, too much aggression and hostility. No wonder your marriage collapsed on the strength of a late West German goal.
I tried. God knows, I tried.
Terry?
Oh, let him go.
No, I shouldn't have said that. Do you think that was a bit unkind? Maybe I better go after him.
Oh, I wouldn't worry. If I know Terry is in the kitchen scoffing the rest of my chocolate biscuits.
I do worry, you know, Audrey. I worry all the time. I worry about the number of people we both know that split up. Here I am. Finally getting it together, and all my contemporaries are getting it apart.
Well, don't count out Terry.
I don't mean him, I mean other people.
What other people?
Well, even the Sandersons have parted.
Never.
And Frank Clark. Frank Clark ran off with an usherette from the Regal.
I hear that's been pulled down.
Must have been his wife.
Well, I nearly left Ernie 18 months ago, but I just couldn't find the time.
Then there was Tony and Ord. Tony and Ord went on a cruise with Doug and Glenys. Now it's Doug and Ord and Tony and Glenys.
And your banns are being read tomorrow with all these warning signals flashing around you.
Well, I'd better be going. I've got to see the Reverend Gordon about the details.
What happened to the Reverend Norman?
Didn't you hear? It was in all the local papers. Last seen driving off with a blonde petrol pump attendant.
Left a wife, 3 kids and 21 books of Green Shield stamps.
Well, thanks for the tea, Audrey.
Hope it all goes well tomorrow, Bob.
Aye. See you in church.
What?
You what? You? In a church?
Certainly. Give you a bit of moral support.
Listen, Terry, I'm warning you. Stay away from that church.
Well, I just thought I'd pop in. Hearing's believing.
You're not going to come up with any just impediments, are you?
Possibly, possibly.
If you muck things up for me tomorrow, I'll smash your head in. Bad hand or no bad hand.
Now, what do you want to go for? Can you remember the last time you were in church?
Clearly. There was this fella splashing water all over me head.
You're evil, our Terry.
Don't worry, don't worry. There's a very special reason. I want to hear their bans. All the time I've known Bob, he'd never tell me his middle name. I know it's Robert Andrew S. Ferris, but I've never known what that S stood for. Even at school, he only ever put RAF on his satchel. He's always hushed that S up.
I never knew that.
It's bound to be something ludicrous. Something to do with the war, I should think, or a battle or a general. Maybe a film star.
S. S.
Robert Andrew Stalin Ferris? No. Robert Andrew Sarajevo Ferris? No, that's the wrong war. Robert Andrew Sands of Iwo Jima Ferris.
Bob.
What?
Why do you keep looking over your shoulder?
I'm not.
You are. Come on, turn round. And Bob.
Sorry,
Sing. The vicar's looking at us.
I'd like now to tell you about some important dates in our congregational calendar. On Tuesday at 8 o'clock in the church hall, Sister Elizabeth Hayes will be giving a talk on her work in Tehran with the voluntary service overseas.
What's the matter?
Terry, Collier's just walked in.
Where?
The very back crook. Don't look round. He might see you.
Oh, my God.
Well, how did he know we were here? Did you tell him to come?
No, I didn't.
Oh, how could you?
I didn't. I told him not to.
On Friday evening, Mrs. Punchin will give an illustrated lecture on birds of the Farne Islands. And afterwards, there will be coffee in the Scout Hall. And, of course, next Saturday, we'll be holding our spring jumble sale starting at 10 in the morning. The church hall will be open all Friday for anyone wanting to leave articles for the sale.
It's going to be quite a week.
And now let us turn to those happy couples about to enter the holy state of matrimony. I hereby publish the banns of marriage between Judith Mary Caldecott, spinster of this parish, and David St. John Pierce, bachelor of the parish of Christ Church, Purley. This is for the second time of asking.
This is it. Sit up straight, and don't forget to smile when he mentions our names.
And between Thelma Ingrid Chambers, spinster of this parish, and Robert Andrew Scarborough Ferris of the parish of... This is for the first time of asking. If any of you know cause of just impediment why these persons should not be joined together in holy matrimony, ye are to declare...
Scarborough!
Hello, Bob. Oh, just you and me again, is it? No. Oh, the doctor must have killed off all his other patients. Come to get the bandage off, have you? I'm in all. Well, the deed's done. Countdown's commenced. M-19. M for marriage, get it?
Very witty.
How's Thelma?
I don't know. She's not talking to me.
God preserve us. What is it this time?
What is it this time? It's about you, isn't it? Making a laughingstock of us in church yesterday during the service. You made that service a shambles. She said she'd never been so embarrassed.
Well, don't blame me, mate. Don't blame me. Blame your parents. Why on earth did they call you Scarborough?
Well, because that was where I was... Well, they told me that... They told me that that was where I was, you know, conceived.
Get away. And they could work it out that precisely?
Apparently.
Oh, I see. Their summer holiday was the only time, was it?
No, no, of course not.
My dad was stationed there just after the end of the war. They called me that out of sentiment.
Oh, I see.
Good job he wasn't posted to Barrow in Furness.
I've never used it, so let's forget about it. The only people who know are you and me and Thelma and my mum and dad.
And the congregation.
Yes, well, at least they're not the sort of people who are going to go running in the street shouting it abroad.
My lips are sealed, Robert Andrew Ferris.
Good.
What about Thelma, then? Are her lips sealed? Is there any chance of her breaking the angry silence before the wedding? Or will she go through the service just nodding her head?
We've had a little row. Nothing serious. Nothing I can't handle.
Nothing you won't get used to.
Terry, I'm going through with it.
I know, mate, I know. I've known ever since Park Road Juniors. Your fate was sealed the day our desk was shifted next to yours.
Yes, and since you've been back, I've had a chance to iron out all my doubts. I'm grateful to you. You've forced me to re-examine. Well, I have re-examined. I've re-examined, and I've reappraised. And now I'm reassured.
Good, good. I hope you are. Because now is the time to have doubts, not when she's galloping up the aisle. When the Reverend Gordon asks you, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, you can't say not necessarily.
My mind is made up. I've had me doubts in the past, but that was just cold feet. I know in my heart of hearts that Thelma's the girl for me. I want what I want, and I know what I want. She's the one. Always has been. Always will be. I think.
You've been listening to Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads. Rodney Bewes and James Berlin appeared as Bob and Terry, with Bridget Forsyth as Bob's fiancée Thelma and Sheila Fern as Terry's sister Audrey. Michael Siegel played all the other characters. The series created and written by Dick Clement and Ian Lafrenet. Programme produced by John Browell. Listen again next week to part 4, Moving On. Thank you.